So I know it's a weird time to talk about it, but when it comes to goals, one of the most common ones is a New Year's resolution. And did you know that by the end of the year, 73% of people won't complete their New Year's resolution that they put out? And of those, 43% of those will give up on it by February. And it kind of brings the question of, like, why? What happened? I think the main reason is that they couldn't really see the steps that were ahead of them to actually get to that goal. So that's what I want to talk about today. Jombo, my friend, I'm glad you're here. It's raining where I am, but I hope that it's nicer weather for you. If it's not, and you're just inside listening to this or in your car, I want you to just sit back, relax. We're going to talk about some of the reasons that perhaps you haven't completed your goals. Now, I harp on this a lot, but I really think it's key to kind of stretch out all of the details of what your goal is and look at each of those steps to see if you're actually getting there or actually on the right track to get the thing you actually want to do. Because the amount of people that I've been around that tend to say, oh, I have this goal and I'm working on this, and then nothing happens, or they don't even take the starting step, it's ridiculous how many people do this. And I'm saying it's ridiculous because I have been guilty of that in the past. I've put out goals that I said I was going to start, and whether that's a video or whether that's some other project that I'm going to start doing, and then I just sit there and I don't. And I think it's because I'm a bit foggy, you know? I'm a bit kind of like blinded to the actual steps that I need to take, and I don't really see what's in front of me. I don't really see how I'm going to get from this point all the way to this other point that feels like it's so far away. So I wanted to address some of the things that have been a bit of my downfalls in the past when it's come to some goals, and what I've really thought about when I've changed those. So I wanted to go through kind of three things with you and sort of clear them up a bit, if you will. But the first one I wanted to talk about is one of the reasons that you, and maybe not you, but maybe somebody else, tends to give up on their goal or seems to be blinded by their goals is because they didn't give themselves enough time to get there. Now, it really depends kind of what your goal is, you know? I'm going to talk about all the goals in fitness because that's the industry that I am in and that's the world that I revolve my life around, but you can apply this any way to your situation. But if we're talking about fitness, let's talk about fitness goals, right? There's usually two types of goals that people have. They're either aesthetic type goals or they're physical goals, performance goals, right? So aesthetic goals would be that person who says, oh yeah, bro, I'm trying to get ready for the beach season. And then you see them work out for, I don't know, like a week before they have to go to the beach. And that's the only thing that they do for that. Or somebody, let's say performance-based. This is a common one because people want to get rid of joint pain, or some people like the idea that it's something measurable, like something they can stick to specific and really see that number change, that number result. And that's the thing that they bring joy out of versus just the aesthetic look of it. And that's all fine and great, but a lot of people tend to go into that and then they find that something hurts too much, or they don't see as big of jump as they wanted to when they only give themselves like a couple weeks and they don't see any change and they feel like that they're more stressed out than they were before. The biggest bit of if you actually want some of these goals that you've set out for yourself, as long as they're high enough goals that you could achieve, you need to give yourself and that goal the time that it deserves. See, there's a reason that people have these fitness programs, and let's say like P90X is a good example. Not to hate on P90X, it was one of the first types of fitness programs I did, and yeah, I enjoyed it. But the big bit is that with these programs, P90X Insanity, a lot of like YouTube programs, whatever they might do, they give themselves 90 days. That's why it's called P90X, because it's usually 90 days of performance. And the reason they do that is because that's usually the minimum amount of time as far as aesthetic goals go, that people will really kind of see that change that they're actually looking for is 90 days. When it comes to performance, usually if let's go to the side, not just the normal fitness instructor, but let's go more strength and conditioning coach, right? If you're someone who's a strength and conditioning coach, you're usually not going to measure a difference in an athlete's performance based off of like 4 days later. It's not that you started them at Monday and boom, magically Friday is here and they're different. It's not that way. It's usually 4 weeks is the minimum that I would give before I would retest anybody, because your body needs time to adapt to these things. And if you try to crunch it into this short period of time that's all completely stress, you're probably just gonna be stressed at the end because you didn't give yourself or that goal enough time. Quick sip of water. This is your reminder to hydrate if you haven't. Good. Okay, back in there. Second bit, your goal is unclear. So I know this goes into the bit that we talked about before of goals being foggy, you know, or vague. And I think one of the things that helped me the most, well, there's a couple, but one of the main things was always asking why. You see, when I was growing up, and I'm still growing up, I won't stop growing up. But when I was growing up and I was younger, a little bit shorter, not too short, but a little shorter, I always asked the question why. And I kept asking the question, and I was probably that annoying kid and you didn't hang out with me, because if I asked why the grass was green and somebody would tell me the answer, I'd be like, why? And then why on top of all of those. And it was just because I was trying to get really specific into it and just wanted to know as much as I could about that question at the time, because that was the interesting thing, and then I would move on to something else. But I also still use this multiple asking of why questions to really get to the bottom of what people actually want, whether they're training with me or whether they're training on their own and I can talk with them. Because when people hear what field I'm in, they go, I've been trying to work out. I've been doing some of these programs. And I go, cool. Why? And they go, because I'm wanting to get more fit. And I say, why? Well, because I'm trying to go on this beach trip. Why? And I keep going like that, and it sounds annoying, you know, but it has a point, because I'm trying to get as specific on that goal as I can, because you really need to find that background reason of why you actually do what you do. For example, my fitness goal is I'm trying to run the Boston Marathon. To do that, I'm wanting to qualify for it. I know I could raise money for charity. There's no hate against charity. I've done that before. But for this, it's just a performance goal for myself that I want to set to be able to run a sub 3 hour marathon, or at about a 6-minute, 50-second pace each mile. And the reason that I set this, if you kept asking questions why, is because I felt like I've had a lot of goals that I've put up in front of myself and I don't really reach them. Or at least my expectations might be too high sometimes. And it might be because I'm not as specific about it, or that I'm not being clear about those goals that I'm wanting, and that doesn't really allow me the proper steps to get where I'm wanting to go. See, it's kind of the same thing of if you were going to go on a big hike, and at least around here, we have the Great Smoky Mountains right nearby. And if you go on one of those hikes, sometimes you can see the trail going ahead for half a mile, if it's a nice straight trail going up. The way that I kind of look at a trail is I might look up, see the direction that I'm going, and then have my eyes kind of backtrack along the trail until it gets to the spot that I'm at. The reason I do that is because it helps me not trip over the things on the trail. Do I still trip? Absolutely. All the time. When I'm not running, I am a clumsy walker. Anyone who's around me can tell you that, that I basically am klutzy. Is klutzy a word? Whatever. Let's not harp on it. The point of the hiking analogy is that you can see this goal, which is hiking to the top of that mountain, way off in the distance. And what you have to do is you have to track your way back, seeing the obstacles that are in the way and knowing the steps that you need to take to get around or over those obstacles in order to get to the place that you are trying to get to. Being clear and being specific about that will kind of help out that situation as far as it goes to actual goal setting and not just saying it. The third bit I hear a lot, and this is true, and it applies to all of us, is that it's too difficult. Or, I thought I could set out this goal, and I put this one in here, and it's too difficult. Well, my response to that is, you're damn right it's difficult. It should be something difficult. It shouldn't be something that's, oh, easy as going out the front door. Or, oh, I walked 20 steps today. Now, depending on your situation, that might be a big thing. But for most of us, that's something that is simple, you know? And if you're setting some goal, it shouldn't be simple. You know why? Because it's something new. It's something different that you haven't done before. But by learning how to do it, it makes you a better person. See, we tend to not really have some of these difficult goals and difficult tasks that are set in our life because perhaps you're somebody who has grown up and gotten out of school and you're just working your 9-to-5 job and it really doesn't challenge you that much. You're just doing the work that you need to for your boss and that's really it. Do you remember when you were in school? Remember when you were in college, elementary school, middle school, high school, you know? And when you were doing any of those, teachers would throw tasks at you that you needed to complete. Otherwise, you wouldn't pass those classes. And by doing that, it was something that was new. It was something that was different. And now you don't really have those types of challenges because you don't really have somebody telling you what to do all the time. Is it great? Yeah. I mean, there's parts of it that are great. I'm not wanting to go back through high school again. Absolutely not. But the big bit about it is that you're not really being challenged the same way. You're not having these new things thrown at you, so you need to make a challenge that is difficult enough. And why does it need to be difficult? Because yes, and sometimes in your mind, you're like, I wish I had an easy life. But you know what? An easy life is one of the most boring things I could think of. I don't want to hear a story about Rich McRichface, right? Who was born into money. He had this money. He did some schooling, he got into a school because his dad knew somebody, and now he just has money to blow. That's boring as hell. I don't want to hear about, what I call him, Rich McRichface? I don't want to hear that. Look, the main point is that in our lives, we're going to stress anyway. We're going to have these things that stress our life. The only difference that I'm making, which I hope you'd make on your own, is that in this way, I can choose my stress. You know, I used to think meditation was a weird kind of like yogi thing that I couldn't really understand. And now I've realized it's mostly just having some time to sit quietly and think your thoughts without any distractions. If you look at it that way, it's you choosing when you actually stress and when you shut everything off. And that's the same way with exercise. I'm choosing to have that be my stressful point and that be my tough time to adapt to everything else in my life. And I think you are going to stress anyways, but in this scenario, it's not just randomly happening to you, or it's not random stress, or it's not all the random joint pain, or the random frustrations, or even mental health. Let's talk about that. We won't harp on it, but how some of these exercise goals, actually fulfilling those and working towards those, can help your mental health as well. And that's kind of the bit I want to wrap up on, is that your goals might be foggy. You might have not hit your New Year's resolution. Maybe you didn't give yourself enough time. Maybe your goal wasn't really that clear. It was way too vague and you didn't ask why. Or maybe you said, you know, it's just too difficult. I don't want to worry about that. If it's important enough to you, you'll find a way to make it happen. I despise that cheesy phrase, but it really is true. And your goals can change around. There's no rule against that. But just remember, you need to make sure that if it's your goal that you really want, yes, it's going to be tough, but give it time. Put some steps into it, clear steps. And know that, yes, it's sometimes difficult, but it'll be worth it. Appreciate you being here. Again, I'm Coach Zoe, or the Coach Zoe you know. Feel free to message me if you have any questions. And always remember, take chances, make mistakes, and know that when it's difficult, there are times when it's not going to be, and where the work that you put in will be the example for what you get out of a situation. Talk to you soon, my friend.